a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Okay, we're going to go into recess, and now we're going to open up as a bonding committee. Do I need a motion to, or we just call the bonding committee to order? And with that, we will take the first two reports in bonding are going to be South Dakota Housing Development Authority. Hello. Hello, Mark.
If somebody forgot their bonding reports, I have a couple extra sets.
Okay, well, I have mine's at home on the desk. Okay. No, I lied. That many. I've got some of them here. Let's see here.
We should probably have Cindy do a roll.
Oh, yeah, we should call roll call. Thanks.
And if you want, I could give like a 2-minute explanation
sure.
What this bond review committee does.
You got a microphone there. With that, when Terry gets organized, I'll have her call roll call.
Cindy,
I'm sorry. We switch secretaries to.
Maybe while we wait for Cindy, I'll just kind of give you a quick overview of what the bond review committee is. Back in the 1970s, when a lot of the bonding authorities were created, the legislature wanted oversight as a means to make sure that these things are operated correctly and that they meet their legislative objective and such. So in statute, there's a requirement that if a bonding authority that was created by this legislature has activity, that they're to submit a report to you annually. The legislature in the past has chosen the executive board to act as the bond review committee. Basically, you're going to hear reports from about 6 or 7 different authorities. All your primary purpose is to give you an opportunity to ask questions, to learn a little bit more about that, or if you want to do some follow-up. It gives you a venue to learn about them and to follow up on them. And essentially, at the end of all the reports, you'll just have a motion to receive and accept the reports. You won't approve them because you don't want to validate everything that's in these various reports. That's their responsibility.
Thank you, Fred. With that, we'll have the secretary call roll.
Brown.
Here.
Heineman.
Here.
Lucas.
Here.
Peters.
Here.
Soholt.
Here.
Teason.
Here.
Gosch.
Here.
Holly.
Here.
Hoffman.
Here.
Letterell.
Here.
Olson.
Here.
Tyler.
Here.
Westra.
Here.
Carson.
Here.
Maher.
Here.
All members are present.
We have quorum. With that, Mr. Lessing.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, committee members. My name is Mark Lossing. I'm the executive director of the South Dakota Housing Development Authority. And this report just came out, so I had them hand that out to you. We just got this printed from the printer this week, and I wanted you to have that. This kind of gives an annual summary of all the housing activity that we do throughout the state. I also want to thank you for indulging and allowing me to present this morning. As you can see from the story, from the headline of this report, it's 40 years, 40 stories. We're celebrating our 40th anniversary this year. The legislature created the Housing Authority in 1973, and we're also having our state housing conference tomorrow and Wednesday, so we've been busy with that, and it works well for me to do this today. Since last year's report, we issued a total of $195.2 million, which supported our first-time homebuyer program. In FY 2013, we loaned more than $142 million to 1,241 first-time homebuyer families. Part of the other bonding is refunding from some other issues where we can refund them at a lower interest rate and realize that savings. We used to be a whole loan first-time home, but we used to have a whole loan first-time home buyer program, which is we would make loans and we would hold them. Since the housing crisis of 2000 and the financial crisis of 2008, the feds have been artificially reducing interest rates by purchasing mortgage-backed securities, which have brought conventional rates down. Now we can't issue tax-exempt bonds and compete with that rate. So what we've been doing to stay in the market is to also sell loans into mortgage-backed securities, and then at sometimes we can use these securities to issue bonds and then get more funds to again do more mortgage loans. Hopefully, you know, the word is the feds are going to start getting away from that, so things should get back to normal hopefully in the next few years. Some of the other programs that we administer are home and tax credit. Those two programs together, we do more than $6 million of multifamily financing across the state. Another program that has a lot of interest is our Governor's House program. And for fiscal year 2013, there were a total of 63 homes that were sold during that year. Since the program started in 1996, we've done a total of 2,103 homes. Another thing I think that the committee might take interest in is the Housing Opportunity Fund. Through the passage of Senate Bill 235 last year, the South Dakota Housing Opportunity Fund was created, which SDHGA administers. For that fund, we had a total of $1.9 million available in funds. We set an application round with applications due October 1. We received a total of 21 applications for that, and the requests were a total of $2.9 million. We're looking to take those requests to the board next month to get approval, and hopefully those projects will get started soon. I guess with that, I'll just open it up to any questions anybody may have.
Does any committee members? Yes, Representative Hawley.
Yeah, thank you. Those, that 235, is that grants or is that loans that you're putting out? So it's revolving funds that'll be increasing?
Mr. Chairman, I guess it depends upon the project. If it can be a loan and they can pay the money back, but some things may not have the ability to pay back, and then we could possibly grant it. So it can be grants or loans, and we do hope to revolve as much as we can.
Senator Lucas and then Heineman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mark, can you expand a little bit on the assistance you can give to small towns and cities that struggle keeping the home values up or meeting the needs of affordable housing in those communities?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. One of the advantages of this fund, it's not just low-income housing. Usually, at least in rental, we're looking at 60% and below area median income. With this program, we can go up to 115%, which is more workforce housing. So we're hoping for projects where, you know, maybe small apartment complexes or maybe in some of the smaller cities, I think we've had, you know, requests to do some rehab or some development of lots or things like that. So we had some numbers on that of the applications that we received. Six applications were from communities under population of 5,000. Eight applications were for communities over 5,000. And seven applications were either statewide or regional programs.
Yes.
Do you also have programs available like energy assistance for homes that need anywhere from minor to major improvements to where maybe homeowners are sitting on them not wanting to put any money into them because the value in comparison to other homes in the community will not bring their value or their investment back up?
What we have for that is a program called our Community Home Improvement Program. CHIP program is what we call it. It's more of a homeowner rehab type program, and they can get interest rates on that from 1.9% to 3.9 or 5.9, depending upon where their income level sits. And we just did increase the total dollar amount for $25,000.
$25,000 now?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
At a request from several people.
Well, I was just pointing out to my co-chair here that on this book right here, that on page, let's see, it's page 15. If you look under Dewey County and you see a CHIP loan in there, I know the recipient who's paying that back. which would be me. So any other discussion? Heineman, Senator Heineman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a question. You know, in Senate Bill 235, there was dollars in the building, South Dakota Building Fund, for local infrastructure, including housing. Is there any relationship with, are they working with South Dakota Building Authority or not any relationship there?
Mr. Chairman, I believe those funds go through economic development. Those particular funds, the housing opportunity funds, go through us, but I think there was a section within economic development that things could be used for things like infrastructure and such, but I believe that goes through economic development.
Yes.
So no working partnership there. I mean, they're not working through the...
They're not working through us, but sometimes we communicate with us and, you know, what they're doing, so we know what, you know, somebody might have a co-application where they're doing both, too.
Senator or Representative Olson?
Thank you. I just have a question on that HUD Section 8 contract. Is that a federal program, or could you explain what that is?
Yes, those are housing assistance payments done by HUD for low to very low income apartment dwellers. They will. What happens is the lower income will have to pay up to 30% of their income, and then HUD has a subsidy on top of that to pay their rent.
Any comments or questions from anyone else? All right. Do I have a motion to accept the...
We can wait until...
Do it all at once? Okay. All right. Too late. We're going to do it all at once. So, all right. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you.
Yep. With that, we'll have Terry. This is the South Dakota Value Added Finance Authority. Is that correct? All right.
Yes.
Great. Welcome.
Thank you, Chairman. Members of the committee, good afternoon. The report that I'm going to be going over is the one in the blue one, Value Added Finance Authority. I'm the loan administrator for the South Dakota Department of Agriculture, as well as the executive director of the Value Added Finance Authority. We issue tax-exempt bonds for agricultural-related projects, such as beginning farmers, manure management facilities for dairies and feedlots, as well as egg processing businesses. The Value Added Finance Authority receives $40 million of the tax-exempt bond cap annually. $10 million is set aside for the Beginning Farmer Bond Program, and $30 million is used for the Agribusiness Bond and the Livestock Nutrient Management Bond Programs. I don't intend to go through every page of the annual report, but if you turn to page 1, the top of this page pretty much sums up the activity for state fiscal year 2013. We issued 4 beginning farmer bonds totaling $1,531,300. The maximum amount of these beginning farmer bonds are set by IRS tax code, and that is $501,100 for calendar year 2013. That does get indexed annually. It increases right around $20,000 a year. Our Beginning Farmer Bond Program is by far the most popular program. We issue more bonds than any other bond program that we do. If you look on page 3, this gives a depiction of the bonds that we've issued per year. As you can see, the bonds have dropped off over the most recent years, but I think that also corresponds to the interest rate market as well. Since inception, we've issued a total of 323 bonds in the Beginning Farmer Bond Program for over $40 million, and we've only had 2 defaults. Page 4 and 5 goes over our Agribusiness Bond and Livestock Nutrient Management Bond programs. We didn't issue any bonds for these programs in state fiscal year 2013. The total dollars issued in these programs is almost $20 million for the Agribusiness Bond and about $9.7 million for the Livestock Nutrient Management Bonds. Our portfolio section begins on page 7. This is a more detailed listing of all of the bonds that we issue. And just to give you a little background information, our Beginning Farmer Bond Program, we cooperate a lot with Farm Service Agency as well as local banks. To be eligible for that program, a beginning farmer has to be at least 18, a resident of South Dakota, have a net worth of $400,000 or less, and then cannot have owned substantially more than 30% of the county median in acres. So there are different eligibility criteria, so sometimes Farm Service Agency's programs work better and sometimes our programs work better. But we do have a cooperation with them, and we also recently just started a bridge loan program with our revolved fund where we can come in and finance an approved FSA borrower when FSA doesn't have the funding. So just a little background there on the beginning farmer. Page 23 is our board member and staff section of the report, and then the financial section starts on page 27. And I'd be happy to answer any questions you have, and I also appreciate you accommodating my schedule as I'm taking off today to Brookings for our Beginning Farmer Symposium tomorrow. So thank you.
Do we have questions for Terry? Representative Tyler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm seeing on pages 8 and 9 that there are different interest rates for some of these loans. Is there, why is there a different interest rate? I mean, we're varying quite a bit here.
Yeah, because the interest rate is set by the bond purchaser. So these are private placement bonds, and typically we go through a local bank, but contract sellers are also eligible. So those rates are set by whomever purchases the bond based on the credit risk of the borrower, the tax bracket, that
sort of thing. So, for example, in let's go to 2012, where it's at 8%, and it's a CFD. So that contract for deed was set by the person who sold. They sold it.
Correct.
That was their interest rate on that contract was 8%.
Yep. And that was probably, I'm guessing since it's so high, it was probably a long-term contract rather than a 5 to 10 year with a balloon.
Any other questions? Representative Hawley.
Quick question. With what happened out west here with the blizzard, is there funding available through any of these programs for the ranchers out west to rebuild herds with?
Sure, Chairman.
Yes.
Our Beginning Farmer Bond Program can be used for real estate, breeding livestock, and depreciable property. So as long as they meet the eligibility criteria for a Beginning Farmer Bond, they can certainly come in and use that program for their breeding livestock. But the Department of Agriculture also has a revolving loan fund where we do participation loans and guarantees for livestock purchases. Yes.
Any other questions? All right.
Thank
Looks
you.
Like you're free to go.
Okay,
thank
thanks.
You, Terry. Yep.
I have a motion to recess until tomorrow.
Yeah, well, do you want to approve these today?
Well, you can do them tomorrow. You can do them today or all tomorrow.
Let's just do these two today, and then we can reorganize tomorrow as the bonding committee. Senator Brown.
I move that we receive these reports.
Second.
Motion by Brown, second by Latterell. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Do I have a motion to adjourn the bonding committee?
So moved.
Motion by Peters.
Second.
Second. All in favor?